Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege of gathering together in your name. We thank you, Lord, for the Zoom technology that allows us to include more in our meeting than would normally be able to. We thank you for those who are here in person. Thank you, Lord, for those who want to attend through Zoom. I pray, Father, for those who are sick, that you would raise them back up to health. And Lord, we ask that you would bless our time in your word tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me in your Bible? I'm going to, turn these off. Turn the sound off and try to make sure that that sounds a little better. Okay. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. One of my favorite epistles to read to those I visit in a nursing home or in a hospital is the Epistle to the Philippians. Recently, as I was thinking about what the Holy Spirit moved Paul to write in that epistle, and more specifically in the first chapter, I was reminded again of the theme of this epistle, which is joy, and a sub-theme, fellowship. Putting these two themes together, you could give to this short devotional the title, Joyful Fellowship. Although I suppose this could be a standalone message, it actually is the sixth message in the Wednesday evening series that we've been studying lately, entitled Important Bible Words. And joy, or joyful fellowship, or fellowship are important Bible words. As I just mentioned a moment ago, the theme of the Epistle to the Philippians is joy. One of the sources of Christian joy is the fellowship that believers have in Jesus Christ. Paul was in Rome. His friends were miles away in Philippi, but their spiritual fellowship was real and satisfying, and they didn't have Zoom or any other kind of video chat. As I'm sure I've mentioned before, the English word fellowship translates the Greek word koinonia, which means fellowship, partnership, participation, or communion, depending on the context of the Bible passage. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, Paul used three thoughts that describe true Christian fellowship. I have you in my mind, Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6. I have you in my heart, verses 7 and 8. And I have you in my prayers, verses 9 through 11. So now you know the outline we're following tonight. So let's examine these three thoughts in order to in a little more detail. The first thought Paul used to describe true Christian fellowship was this: I have you in my mind. True Christian fellowship causes brothers and sisters in Christ to think of each other often. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6, let's just read that. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation, koinonia, in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Although Paul had a lot of difficulties and stresses in his life at the time he was penning these words, he was thinking of others and not of himself. As he awaited his trial in Rome, Paul's mind went back to the believers in Philippi, and every recollection he had of them brought him joy. Let me encourage you to apply this thought personally by asking yourself this question. Are you ready for this question? Am I the kind of Christian who brings joy to my fellow Christians when they think of me? Let me say it again. Am I the kind of Christian who brings joy to my fellow Christians when they think of me? The Philippians did that to Paul. The second thought Paul used to describe true Christian fellowship was this: I have you in my heart. True Christian fellowship causes brothers and sisters in Christ to love each other with godly love, agape, with brotherly love, philadelphia, and with Christian affection, splunknon. That's a good one to pronounce in Greek, splunknon. Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we read this, "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers, synkoinonous." So there's a prefix to the koino, but it's soon, meaning with, synkoinonous, the partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection, splunknon, of Christ Jesus. So now we move a bit deeper, for it is possible to have others in our minds without really having them in our hearts. Someone has observed that many people today would have to confess, "I have you on my nerves." Okay? All kidding aside, Paul's sincere love for his brothers in Christ was something that could not be disguised or hidden. How did Paul evidence his love for them? For one thing, he was suffering on their behalf. His bonds and imprisonment were proof of his love. Paul's love was not something he merely talked about. It was something he practiced. He considered his difficult circumstances an opportunity for defending and confirming the gospel. And this would help his brethren everywhere. Again, would you apply this thought personally by asking yourself this question? Do I demonstrate my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ by concrete actions and edifying words? Let me say that again. Do I demonstrate my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ by concrete actions and edifying words? The third thought Paul used to describe true Christian fellowship was this: I have you in my prayers. True Christian fellowship causes brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for each other often. Would you follow along your Bibles in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11? "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." By the way, that's all just one sentence. But notice he starts that sentence with, "And this I pray," and he proceeds to describe what he prays. And what kinds of things did Paul pray for the Philippian believers? Well, he prayed that they might experience abounding, discerning love. Christian love is not blind. The heart and mind work together so that we have discerning love and loving discernment. Paul wanted his brethren to grow in discernment and being able to distinguish the things that differ. Paul also prayed that they might have mature Christian character, sincere and blameless. This means that our lives do not cause others to stumble, and that they are ready for the judgment seat of Christ when he returns. Paul also prayed that they might have mature Christian service. He wanted them filled and fruitful. Look at verse 11, "having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul was not interested simply in church activities, but in the kind of spiritual fruit that is produced when we are in fellowship with Christ. By the way, you cannot be in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ if you are not in Christ. Does that make sense? If you're not fellowshipping with Christ. The difference between spiritual fruit and human religious activity is that the fruit brings glory to Jesus Christ. Once again, let's apply this personally by asking yourself this question. Do I pray often for my brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those in our local church and those I interact with regularly? What kinds of things do I specifically ask God to do for them and do in them? That's a long one. Let me just say it again. Do I pray often for my brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those in our local church and those I interact with regularly? What kinds of things do I specifically ask God to do for them and do in them? Let me just mention here, as far as praying for each other, we tend to pray for each other when there's a specific prayer request, you know, that they give you. You know, pray for me, I'm sick, or pray for me, I've got a job interview, or pray for me, I've got a journey I've got to make. And by the way, do pray for us when we travel for 2.5 weeks or whatever it is. Just 2 weeks from now. Wow. Okay. However, what I encourage you to do is to run down the list of your fellow church members and pray for them. Not necessarily some specific prayer request that you know of. Pray for that if you do, but just pray for them in general. Just say, Lord, help them to grow in Christ. Help them to have joy today. Lord, guard them from temptation. Lord, open up a door of opportunity for them to witness. These are all things you can pray for one another, because James says, pray for one another. There's a command. So I encourage you to do that. I have you in my mind, in my heart, and in my prayers. This is the kind of fellowship that produces joy. We're back to joy again. I pray that the Holy Spirit would use his word from Philippians chapter 1 to motivate in you this kind of fellowship with other believers. Let me close this short challenge by reminding you to ask yourself these questions again. Am I the kind of Christian who brings joy to my fellow Christians when they think of me? Do I demonstrate my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ by concrete actions and edifying words? Do I pray often for my brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those in our local church and those I interact with regularly? What kinds of things do I specifically ask God to do for them and do in them? I hope that God will use this short challenge to encourage you to fellowship with one another. And may the Lord use that in our hearts.